to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And very good morning to you. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about the trials and tribulations of marriage. We welcome your phone calls at 855-454-5905. Going back to the phones, we have Valdez joining us from Philadelphia. Valdez, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you so much for giving us a call. What can we do for you?
Well, I would just like to say, you know, I mean, this show is great, man. I've been listening to this show for about a year now, and I really enjoy it. I've been missing it for like 3 months because of the fact that at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, I usually get ready to go to church.
Okay.
But
Valdez, can I ask you a quick favor?
Valdez,
hold on one second. Is there a way you can go to a separate room or something? We're hearing like some background noise. It's hard to hear you.
Okay, give me a second.
Yes, thank you.
So in the meantime, while Valdez is moving around, let me give you the number if you want to call in. If you have any questions about the trials and tribulations in your marriage, the number is 855-454-5905. Valdez?
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. Here. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Just want to make sure we get to hear you. So tell us. So you have a situation you're calling about?
Yeah. Well, me and my wife, I've been married for 7 going into 8 years. We both had infidelity inside our marriage, on my part, on her. I thought we were finished with that, but sometimes I wonder. I feel that my wife, her main friends are single.
Single women or single men?
Single women.
Okay.
Single women. And, you know, they influence her a lot in the fact that she speaks to them a lot. When I mean a lot, more than she speaks to me.
Okay. So she talks to her girlfriends, except that her girlfriends are probably giving her advice from a single perspective.
Right. And basically maybe glorifying the fact that, you know, they are single.
Okay. Because you know what I was going to mention about that? Cause, you know, Tiffany's here and she's single. And I'm sure there are going to be times where if her friends who are married call her, that she'll give good advice. But there are other times when she'll probably say, listen, you might want to be talking to someone that's married.
Most times I don't give any advice at all because I really feel like I'm not qualified to give any advice on a married person.
Yeah.
In a situation, you know, often I would say from a woman's perspective, you know, to honor your feelings or whatever it is that you're feeling, to talk to someone about what you're feeling. If you feel like, you know, it's beyond it's beyond your marriage, then bring a professional in instead of bringing the single girlfriend, especially if it's a single, never married girlfriend, because, you know, we have a limited scope on that. We really can't give some wholehearted, like, sound advice, yeah. I think. So, you know, it might be that maybe you guys sit and really talk about why she feels like she can't talk to you about what she's feeling.
Yeah. We have definitely talked. It's just the fact that she said we agreed to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus, I honestly and truly believe that in a marriage, I mean, you are definitely one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my wife feels that you're one. You're not one.
I get you.
You're supposed to be separate. So she wants us to have separate friends. I mean, since we have been married, we have not really had other married couples as friends.
And I think that's the key, right? It's not so much that she has single friends. It's that, do you have other couples that you can talk to? And it sounds like, I mean, I don't want to make light of this part. You mentioned that this was infidelity, right, on both parts.
Oh, yes, we have.
And so I think there's already a broken trust. And so the temptation and the tendency when that trust is broken, you know, we don't have time to get into that part. But when that trust is broken, it's so much easier to just kind of be married but be separate. And that's what happens a lot of times. People are living more like roommates. They have separate lives, and then they just come together. They, if they sleep together, you know, that's the kind of marriage they have. And something you said earlier, you don't really have other married couples. And the great thing about having other married couples is that you can bounce things off each other. Like Angel and I, like we'll talk about our sex life, you know, with like, man, these are things. And it's always good to speak to mature guys that have been married. Those guys have been married 30, 40 years. I love to see, like, how do you keep it spiced up? How do you keep it fresh? I mean, and a lot of those guys, believe it or not, they figured it out. I mean, there's a reason why they've been married 40 years. And I'm not talking about the guys that have been married 40 years and are miserable. I'm talking about the ones that are happy. And you're like, man, that I want 40 years from now, I want that kind of marriage. But I tell you, they've learned. And it is. I love it. I love it when you just get some really good input, but you got to let people in. Let me tell you something, or a question for you. Do you have good relationships with married men?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. So is your wife open to, like, double dating with another couple?
Or with their wives.
Like, having their wives, like, double dating. Like you, or just hanging out with the wife. But really, like, having them over for dinner, let's say.
Right.
Right. So far, no. I haven't seen her. I've asked her, you know, there's this couple at church who we are both friends with, husband and wife. And she is, you know, there's never no, why don't we do that? Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? We have a Reverend Mac on the line. Reverend Mac calls in from time to time. He's a mature brother and really lively. Mm-hmm. Always talking about, excited about. He's one of those guys, man, that you're like, when I grow up, when I'm a granddaddy, I want to be like this guy. him and his wife, man, we've seen him at events. He's wearing his red suit, matching his wife. I mean, just a good-hearted, lively brother. So let's bring in Reverend Mac for a minute. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what he has to say.
Hey, Reverend Mac, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Martha. And you guys, I tell you, y'all have a wonderful conversation going on there about this marriage thing and being honest and being true to each other. When you're being honest and true, it makes a difference. And trust is the main thing in marriage.
Let me ask you something.
Trust yourself, you can't trust your mate.
That's true. Let me ask you something. We have Valdez on the line. I don't know if you were able to hear his comments, but he's trying to get other married couples, really like you and your wife, couples like you who are mature, and just how to get help with his wife, who's basically sharing her personal marital stuff with single friends. He wants to be able to talk to other married couples. What advice would you give to him?
My advice, why would she share with single women when they're not going to understand what's going on with a married situation because they're not married, Marcus? I mean, you got to inject somebody that is married and understand the things that married folks go through.
Yeah, or even if they were married before.
You're talking to a single person about your being married. I don't think that's going to work out too good, Marcus.
I agree. You know, the Bible says very clearly that older women are to teach the younger women. So I don't necessarily think that it has to be someone that's been married, but someone who perhaps was in the past and maybe lost her husband. Someone that can give good advice that is going to look out. It's because it sounds like to me, Valdez, that your wife is talking not just to single women, but younger single women, that they're going out and kind of living that single life, where your wife should really be concerned about her affairs at home. Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're asking for your wife to be more of someone who's a partner, and you're not getting that.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like. But in order to do that, you have to still have to have that belief and trust.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. If you don't trust your mate to do these type of things, things don't go haywire.
But we
got to realize all marriage, I don't care who they are, all marriages still under construction.
Amen. I love that. Well, Reverend Mac, I want to say thank you so much for calling in and helping our brother Valdez here and sharing. You keep doing what you're doing, Brother Mac.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm still mocking. And I'm still on my honeymoon 19 and a half years, and I'm enjoying every bit of it.
Amen. Awesome. We love it. We love it. Thank you, Reverend Mac. Valdez, hold the line, and everyone else also hold. We're going to take a brief break. Valdez, when we get back, we want to share an actual scripture with you that's okay. I believe is going to help you a ton. So don't go anywhere. We do have to take a break.
That's right. And we don't want you to touch the dial, but we'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We left off in the midst of a conversation with Valdez. We're going to pick that up now. Valdez, are you there?
Thank you, Valdez. We appreciate your patience. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about the trials and tribulations of marriage. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And of course, I'm here with Tiffany Bacon and a very special guest, Angel Maldonado, who is from Atlanta, Georgia. He's a TV producer, lead pastor. I mean, he does a lot of things, and he's been through some challenges in his own marriage. Recently, they lost a child. His wife had a miscarriage, and we realized we don't talk about these challenges enough. So a moment ago, right before the break, we were on the phone with Valdez, who shared that his wife tends to go and share their personal issues with single friends, single female friends. And Valdez, I had mentioned that I had a scripture for you, Titus chapter 2. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It says, teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to be able to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one maligned the word of God. And so what does this passage really say is that we all need living examples. So the problem with your wife talking to the single women is that their lives can't be an example for her because they can't put into practice. And again, I'm not saying that anyone single can't give advice, but I appreciate what Tiffany says. She's like, she won't even go there. She'll say, go talk to a professional, go talk to someone else, because the goal is for these friends of hers. I mean, are they really going to give her the advice that it says here for older women to do, to love their husbands and their children? I mean, some of them will be like, listen, girl, get out the house. Let's hang out. Instead of, listen, you got to be better at home. I mean, how many women are really going to say what's biblical and that your wife should submit, you know, to you or to get help or to even say, hey, let's sit down and talk together. Let's bring your husband in on this. Let me bring my husband and let's talk. And I think that's the difference between married couples. My wife might call one of our close friends. She might talk to the wife and we might say, we need to talk together as couples. And that makes such a difference. So what I want to encourage you, however, is for you to make sure that you're doing your part. You say you do have married friends. I would say, listen, just stress it enough, not beating your wife over the head, but saying, man, I really want to get where this couple is. I want us to be there 20 years from now. They've been married, you know, 30 years, and I love what they're doing. Could we spend time with them? And really just not just saying it, but giving her a plan. Like, listen, 2 weeks from now, I want to have this special dinner. We're going to go out to a nice place, and we're going to invite this couple. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and it may be good to ask your wife, what wives do you respect? What wives do you look up to? Because sometimes, you know, the guys can get close to guys and the women get close to women. But sometimes the other part doesn't click. And as men, they say, you know what, I may not know the husband that well, but I'm willing to make a sacrifice in order because you appreciate the wife and you respect and you're open to that relationship.
That's good. So how does that sound? Maybe your wife can pick a couple?
Yeah, I think so. I hope she would listen and understand that.
Yeah, and I think with the trust being broken, if I didn't stress this before, is make sure you're humble and you're not demanding, that you're like, you know what, we said this to a few callers already, you know, you just really have to be patient where your wife is, because you have broken the trust. I know she has as well, but you got to take responsibility for your end.
Yeah, but I take responsibility for my end. I believe last week you was talking to a caller about that situation, and you gave her a text of something to the effect of you got to forgive them seven times 77.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I believe she may. I don't think she's forgiven of me.
Yeah, and that's possible. So you know what? That means that she needs to heal, and I think that's even a better reason to be able to talk to another couple. Even a couple that perhaps has been through it and has survived and are doing well.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. But Valdez, we really appreciate you calling in. Like I tell many of our callers, you know, I would love to hear back from you. Just give it an update, you know, a few weeks from now. Let us know how it goes, and preferably after you spent time with a couple.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Valdez. Have a blessed day.
Take care. Let's go to Keith calling in from New Jersey. Keith, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Keith.
Good. I was just calling because I have some issues with my marriage as well. And, you know, listen to the past conversations, and it's kind of similar to what I have going on. We've been married for 4 years. I've known her for maybe 10. And, I was unfaithful at one time, but not to the point where it was sexual, it was just conversation with other women.
Okay.
Because I wasn't getting the answers or the conversation from my wife that I wanted. So I, you know, talked to other women about it.
Okay.
And I struck a nerve with her, which I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And, now it's getting to the point where she's talking about divorce, and you know she's always bringing up the past.
Okay. Now so, when you say like one time in the past, how long ago we're talking about? Because you've only been married 4 years.
Yeah, that was a while. That was maybe that was before the marriage, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And quick question for you, Keith. On a side note, we're hearing a little bit of background noise, maybe your kids or something. Is there a way it could be a little more quiet? Because the mics are very sensitive.
Okay, hold on for 1 second.
Thank you.
In the meantime, if you're unable to call in to the program, you can always find us on Facebook. So look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook.com, and you can always post your comments there.
All right. Yeah, that's
okay.
much better. So, all right, so this happened before you got married, and you got married. And now your wife is talking about divorce. That's interesting, because she married you even after that happened.
Right.
So what is the reason she's giving for wanting a divorce?
Because she just cannot let the past go.
But she married you after that.
Yeah, I know. But it's, you know, it's just a constant reminder to her, you know, what she's saying, I shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have got married. Didn't have to get married. But now we have a child.
Okay.
So
where's your wife right now?
She's home.
She's home. Do you think she might be interested in getting on the phone with us? And you can ask her for us?
Well, I'm not home right now.
Oh, you're not home. I'm thinking you're home and she's home. Okay. No, that's okay. Let me ask you this, Keith. Is there anything you think you could do differently? And I know it's hard to be objective, but that your wife, maybe if you could think of some of the complaints that she's given. Because it sounds like she has regrets, and there's a lot of times when I hear this, I feel like there's a missing piece, and that's why I was asking if your wife was there.
Well, one of the missing pieces were, you know, back, you know, when we first got married, I was working, I had a good job, making good money, bills were paid, everything was good. Got laid off of my job. now money also came into play as far as, you know, being supportive and this and another. So I'm finally got a good job, getting back on my feet. I'm trying to tell her, you know, okay, it's going to happen. You know,
how long were you without a job?
2 years.
Wow. And does she feel like, did she complain she felt like you weren't doing enough to find a job?
Right, yeah. And I was looking every day.
And you were really looking? Were you home online looking or were you out there looking?
Both. No. Whatever I could find, you know. And I did find some, you know, little jobs, but it really wasn't worth the time and the travel because, you know, I was getting anything from it.
But you still have a job now?
Yes.
And has that helped at all? Has your wife felt like, all right, maybe now that you're working, things can get better?
It's starting to get better.
Yeah.
But she's still, you know, she's still holding on to that thing in the past. And I'm, you know.
You know what's something that I don't think we talk about enough is the emotional need that women have to feel secure, like their husbands are going to provide. I know we live in a new era, and a lot of women feel like, man, I don't need a man. I can do it by myself. But there are women, many still out there, who want to have the security of, even if I do work, I don't want to have to work.
Right.
And I want my husband to be the provider. And I'm wondering if there's something, if there's some relation to that. I mean, maybe not. But I do know one thing. She's not moved on because she keeps bringing you to the past. One of the things we read about in 1 Corinthians 13 about love is that love keeps no record of wrongs. And whenever I hear someone keep going back to the past, number one, I call it fighting unfair because you can't change the past. I mean, if she says she's forgiven you, she needs to be able to move on. But if there's always that back door, it sounds like to me that you get both need some counseling because it doesn't even make sense what you're sharing with me. And I tell you what doesn't make sense. She married you after that.
Right.
And then she's like, well, I made a mistake. It's like, no, you know what? Marriage, the way God designed it is you made your bed. Now you live this commitment for the rest of your life. And from what you're telling me, look, my assessment, okay, it's just my opinion. I think you're trying, my brother. I really do. I think you're doing your part. I mean, it was hard to get a job. I'm sure there were struggles there, but you have the job now. You're trying to provide. You're owning your sin. And I think there might be a missing component where your wife has just not resolved to forgive you.
Right.
And maybe she has reasons. I would love to hear her reasons. Maybe there's still some doubt there. I want to hear from Angel and see what he has to say.
I think one thing, it's good hearing these men calling in, confessing, saying I've messed up, but really wanting to rebuild their marriage. And for that, you know, I commend you. I think the other thing, though, you say that, you know, she still married him. And I think there is a time when, you know, women say, okay, well, I can change him.
Mm-hmm.
I can change him. The other thing, and you know, is that as men, we have to accept the consequences of these decisions that we're making. And so if we go through a time where we're not providing, if we go through infidelity, if we make these decisions, we can't have a spirit of entitlement that says, okay, now you need to get on board. Now you need to figure out how I'm doing right now. But as men, sometimes we don't really take into account or consider everything that we've put our wives through in the past.
Mm, that's a good point. Does that make any sense for you, Keith?
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I definitely understand that.
And I think the other part is it's time to rebuild. And it's not too late. I mean, you have a child now. It's definitely worth fighting for your marriage.
Absolutely.
And I think you're going to. But you got to fight together.
Yeah, and I've asked her, you know, let's go to church. I asked her about counseling. And, you know, she claims she doesn't have time. You know, but she works, you know, a lot. And, you know, when she comes home, she's tired. So, you know, I can understand that. But, I mean, for us not to go to church together. Usually, you know, when I go to church, either I'm going with my sister or I'm taking my son with me, and she's not going.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I believe you should go to church together. Sometimes it starts at home, though. Would she be willing to do a Bible study together with you at home?
Right.
Because I think it starts there. I'm big on you should go to church together, absolutely. But before her faith is there, it might just take, you know what, honey, I'm not saying you preach at her, but you start living. I think what you're doing is great. You're going. You're right. Leading spiritually. I think it's time now to say, okay, how can I help her? Let me tell you something that helps me, Keith. when we have an issue in our relationship, when I think that it's my wife's issue, it's so much harder for me to help her. But when I look at it as our issue, it takes away the defensiveness that my wife can have. Vice versa, the same way. When she looks at me and is like, honey, this is you, it's so much harder for me. But when she's like, this is us, we're trying to work on this together. And so even that spiritual component, saying, you know, as you do some Bible studies, like, man, how can we as a family be closer to God? We, not just you, not just her. And I think that even seeing what she has to say, because maybe there is a desire she has, and she might even feel guilty. Like, man, I'm working. I need to provide. You weren't working all these years, so I don't have time for church because I got to provide. You know, and instead of saying, you know, what's the solution? How can we work at this? Make it a we instead of just me. Okay.
Okay.
Keith, thank you. We really do appreciate you listening and calling us this morning as well.
All right. Thank you.
God bless. Right. Take care. Let's go to Dee calling in from Philadelphia. Dee, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great, great. Thank you so much, Dee. So what is something you want to share with us?
So I'm a married woman for, it'll be 10 years this year in September.
Okay.
And I thought that this was a great topic because no one really tells you the truth about all the trials and tribulations that married couples have to go through in order to become stronger couples. So I just wanted to give a voice of
encouragement.
Encouragement.
There you go.
To the women that are out there that are struggling and have heard, oh, the first 5 years, oh, the first 7 years. It's always a different number, but that there is a light that comes through, but you do definitely have to continue to work because each person is working through their own struggles. And as you become more as one, it sometimes the obstacles can seem too much, but if you're consistent and you continue to pray, and sometimes it's not always equal. Sometimes you are going to have to give more of yourself than you think is fair. But when you look at the bigger picture and why you got married in the first place, and you always keep that in mind, then that pill becomes a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah, and that's so true. I agree. Well, Dee, I want to actually mention something you said that's very interesting. I think a lot of times married couples, but especially those who've been married a while or even in the church, we can fall into these things like, all right, this is just how it's going to be. The first year is always tough. Not really, right? There are couples, they have a great first year. Mm-hmm. Their fifth year might be tough. Their 10 year, you know, I've known couples that it really got tough, you know, 15 years later when the kids were out, you know, when the kids are teenagers, or 20 years later when the kids are out of the house. I mean, I think it's different for different people. That our theme scripture of the day comes from Matthew chapter 7, and it talks about the wise and foolish builders. And it says when the storms come, right, the rain, the winds, you know, it beats against that house. The one that stands is the one on the rock. The one on the sand, you know, crumbles. It really goes about, it's about your foundation and being prepared, because it's different. If we knew when the storm would come, then we would just prepare for that. But we don't know. Angel, our guest here in studio, I mean, things were going great. They decide to have a second child, and then his wife loses a child. That's a trial and tribulation. You don't expect that. You know, some of us, we made plans. You know, our earlier caller said he lost a job and couldn't find a job for 2 years. He didn't know that was going to be an issue. You know, so.
I agree. Even though we've been married for so long and we were a couple for a few years before that, we still struggle with a lot of things because we're in with our professional careers, our personal identity, our thinking of how we should raise our children. We have a child that's 20, a child that's 8, and a child that's 2. And the fact that we are
20-year-old and a 2-year-old? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I had a child as a teenager before I married my husband, I met my husband. So we're a blended family. And so because we have all these children in the different continuum, there are various ups and downs that we can continue to go through because our children are going through different things and they affect us. And where we thought we would be.
Yeah.
You know, I will be almost 40. And now,
yeah, what's wrong with 40? What's wrong with 40? All right. Well, Dee, let me ask you a question here. So
yes.
you feel like, you know, there was no way to really prepare for some things. I mean, and you, especially a blended family, right? You never know what to expect. You know, I think everyone, for the most part, goes in thinking that everything's just going to fall into place, that marriage is going to kind of magically fix things. And what I realize is actually marriage does the opposite. Marriage magnifies what's there.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was already a trust issue and you get married, then it gets magnified. If there's already an issue with family and you get married, it gets magnified. So what it sounds like to me, and the lesson that it sounds like you've learned is like, you know, you got to prepare for the storm. You just mm-hmm. never know when it would come your way. But it sounds like you're enjoying, you know, marriage at this time.
I am enjoying my marriage because my husband, I think the pivotal point in our marriage was that my husband said to me that he is taking divorce off the table. And the fact that he stood up and said that is not an option, that I am not going to go there with you, and that we're going to make this through, that was a significant evidence of how committed my husband was to
I love that. Dee, that's what I call, I said, you eliminate the back door. There's no back door. We're going to work this out. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's very helpful for a lot of couples. Angel, do you want to chime in? No? Okay, great. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to our next caller. Dee, I want to say thank you for picking up the phone and giving us a call today.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you too.
All right. You do the same. We have Judy calling in from Philadelphia on line 4. Judy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. I asked to be anonymous, really. I'm just going to be honest.
Okay.
But I'm from Philadelphia. Just make a long story short, and you may want to ask me questions afterwards. I'm not married yet, but we're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We've set a date, prepared for the honeymoon, had counseling. My fiance has a medical issue with problem with his back. 10 years ago, he had rides in his back. We go to church together. He's kind of overdid it this winter. Snow and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been in a lot of pain. He goes to a pain doctor, and he feels as though I would be a burden to him.
Or you would be a burden to him, or
yes,
he would be a burden to you?
He would be a burden to me.
Okay, because I was going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right, so he's feeling like he doesn't want to bring calamity on you. You know, he doesn't want to be the one to like, you deserve better.
Yeah.
But isn't it your choice?
I'm trying to help and understand it, even with counseling. You know, my pastor, we've gone through almost all the sessions. We had one to go, and, you know, I'm just trying to let him know, you know, and as a man being physical,
mm-hmm.
he's worrying about that, you know, because they're talking about wanting to give him another operation. It's been 10 years.
Let me share something with you, and I know we called you Judy. I know that's not your name, but it's okay. We'll call you Judy.
Okay.
Judy, I actually counseled a couple, very similar situation, and I was even blown away by this. And I'll tell you the story briefly, but there was a good brother that I know that decided to marry a woman who was terminally ill. I mean, as a matter of fact, they only gave her about a year to live. And I was like, my goodness, you know, you sure you want to marry this woman?
Yeah.
You're going to lose her. And you know what he said that was so deep? He says, I want to take care of her, and the only way I'll be able to do that is if I'm her husband. And I mean, I just had never heard, you know, something so selfless. And I think, you know, Judy, if you can help convince your husband, you know what, you want to serve him and serve God in this way, will he let you? Because I know right now he's feeling like he's the burden, but I know it sounds like you deeply love your husband or your fiance. You love him. And I think it's a lot of times as men in our pride, it's like, no, I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not, you know, but you want to serve him. And, you know, sometimes humility is allowing others to serve you. I think you'd need to let him know. He's getting in the way from you being able to serve him.
Over and over again, I've told him, you know, it's a blessing that we're back together. I've known him. It's not like we're strangers.
Mm-hmm.
We just met. I've known him all my adult life. I met him, you know, when I first came out of high school. But, you know, we broke up. We went our separate lives. We both had been married before. And God is allowing us to be back together. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be in your corner. But it's a pride thing.
He doesn't want it.
Wow.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. So you're currently engaged. So he hasn't broken off the engagement.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. But he just doesn't want to get married. Is he waiting to get better and then figure out if he can get married? Is that what he's trying to do?
I think he wants to, you know, he's thinking about the operation. And even he may not get the operation. Right now he's waiting for an MRI. We're supposed to be getting married in June the 30th.
Okay.
And we're going on our honeymoon. Like,
Is the wedding still on?
The wedding is still on. Because we're not having a big ceremony. We're getting married in our parish.
So what's the problem? I mean, he hasn't called off the wedding.
I think he just wants to postpone it.
Oh.
You think?
You know what I think? Has he said
medical
this?
Medical issue is...
You know what it sounds like, Judy? I'm going to take the liberty of making an assumption. I think he's afraid.
I'm not going to be there for...
No, I don't think that. I think he's afraid that he's going to fall short. I mean, even when you mentioned earlier about the physical part that he's not going to be able to perform, mm-hmm. I think he's afraid. I mean, honestly, and you know what? It's natural, it's normal. I hope and pray he decides to be courageous about this. But you also got to respect that. There's something, you know, we talk a lot about pride, but we don't always talk about dignity. That there is such a thing as dignity for men. And I think there is a certain dignity that he wants to feel. Man, I can be a husband to this woman, because it sounds like he really does love you. I wouldn't push that. You know what I think at this point, if you really want this relationship to work, this is just my advice as a man. Okay, I'm not saying this is God. I'm not saying I'm speaking, you know, directly from the words of God. This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best you can do is say, honey, I love you. And I'm going to support whatever you do. If you want to marry me in June, amen. If you want to postpone, I love you so much that I'm going to let this happen in your time. And giving him that freedom to choose will probably mean so much.
And that's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Amen. Awesome. And I think that's what you can do. Because I know for me as a man, I appreciate it when my wife says, honey, I'm going to trust you with this. And that's going to build a great foundation. And God willing, you end up being together. That's going to really lay a great foundation that you trusted him and you didn't pressure him. You didn't guilt him out, but you trusted him to make this decision. I love when my wife says this to me. She's like, honey, I just trust you. Whatever you decide, I trust you. And she means it. And we've made some major decisions. We've moved from different cities because of it. I've changed jobs. I mean, there are major things I've done. And I appreciate when my wife is like, honey, I trust you. Like, you want to know my opinion, but ultimately, I trust you. And so I think, Judy, you can really do that right now and win your future husband over. And I think you're doing the right thing, and you're being open about how you feel. But we're going to say a special prayer for you. God willing, your wedding will be in June. And if not, hopefully not too long after that. If you don't mind, Judy, I want to actually say a quick prayer right now with you.
Yes.
Is that okay? Let's hear a prayer. God, thank you so much. God, I know Judy, it's not her name, God. She just wanted to be anonymous, and we definitely respect that. But we know you know exactly who she is and her situation. Father, I pray that you would truly heal her fiancé, God. And if it's not your will to heal him, that you help them to emotionally be able to endure this storm, and that they're able to be together, God, and spend the rest of their lives the way you sanctioned, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you calling today.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Take care. We have a few minutes left in the program. If you feel the need to ask a question about the trials and tribulations in your marriage, now is a great time to call. 855-454-5905.
You know, we are going to spend a few minutes on Facebook, our second favorite book, right, Tiffany?
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, we love social media. We appreciate the way we can stay connected. There have been some questions. I want to go to one really quickly. If you've not done this already, we do encourage you to go to Facebook.com /beyondthevows. You know, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. You could also go to our website, praisephilly.com, and look for me, Marcos Mercado. You can listen to archive shows as well. What I want to do, I want to just read a couple of posts here really quickly. One of them is, how do you know when it's over? I believe it's Terry is asking this. She said, how do you know when it's over? Because I don't want to keep hurting. I've been married 10 years in June, and I've been trying, and it's gotten worse. We are not talking to each other. We are in different houses. I love my husband. I spoiled him, and I spoiled him to where I had to turn him over to God. Any help will help. Okay. And one of the things that I wanted to ask, and you know, we kind of chimed in a little bit here, is how do you know when it's over? It's so different for different situations. I think number one, God has a way of making things really clear to us. We just have to be willing to listen, to look beyond our emotional needs. And I think to me, the best thing is to have faithful spiritual people who are going to give you godly counsel, because when you're in it, it's very hard for you to be objective. You know, if you're frustrated, you feel like it's over. I mean, you know how many couples we get, you know, and Angel, you're here today, and you even know from today, you know, how many couples call and they think they've done everything they could. And right. Then you ask, well, have you done this? No. And so sometimes we think we've done everything, but we really haven't. And so, Terry, I think it's great that you have the humility to say, I want to fight on, but man, it's getting worse. How do I know? And I think number one, God makes that clear. But a lot of times he uses people. You know, if you're people who love you the most, who you trust and are spiritual, the Bible says wounds from a friend can be trusted. And so if someone that you trust tells you, listen, it's time to move on, then you should probably listen. But if they're saying, hang in there, and ultimately you got to live with this decision. So what is God saying to you? What do you think, Angel?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's why it's so important to have people you trust and people you respect, people that you admire the way they have lived their lives. Yes. And that you can see their lives and say you see the fruit of their lives, because there's a lot of people out there that want to give advice.
Yes.
But honestly, it hasn't worked out well for them.
Well, I mean, some people, and yeah, that's right. So what they're going to tell you, don't do what I did. I've had right. failed marriages, three marriages failed. Don't do that. Number four, I promise you, is going to be better. It's like, no. I think also we have another comment here, and I appreciate this one. Crystal says, I love this topic. Thank God for Marriage Beyond the Vows is on the air, and it's a help to so many people. Amen, Crystal. We appreciate that. Want to encourage more and more to listen. Tell your friends. If you've not done so already, we invite you to visit our Facebook page. We have 6,983 likes. We are hoping to get to 7,000 today, so help us get there. Tell your friends or do that yourself. Go there and hit the like button. And we do have another caller here, I believe.
Yes.
Interesting question from Karen, I believe.
Karen is calling in from Philadelphia. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Good morning. What is your interesting question for us?
My question is this. When you've been married for over 20 years, and it's worse now that you're saved than it was before you were saved, what do you do?
Explain that. Worse in what way? Is it worse in your intimacy? Worse in just in general? What's worse?
Well, it's worse in the intimacy. It's worse in the communication. It's just worse in every way.
Okay. Well,
let me
ask you this.
What it was when we were not saved.
Okay. When did you get
married
saved?
When we weren't saved.
When did you get saved?
About 12 years ago.
All right. So for the first 8 years, it was better, and then you got saved. And now, was it you and your husband or just you?
Well, I got saved 15 years ago. He got saved 10 years
okay.
ago.
So the last 10 years has been worse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And let me tell you what it could be. A couple of things. It might, and I don't want to sound like I'm taking God out of the picture, but sometimes it might not be that you were saved. It just might mean that you're married longer, and so more problems have come to the surface. But the other one, it could be also, I mean, marriages are under attack, and the devil knows. He's going to use whatever he can. And last but not least, I'll explain this one to you as well, Karen. There's three stages to every relationship, right? You have like the initial phase, that honeymoon stage. Then you have conflict, And then finally, there's the stage of being withdrawn from each other. And so a lot of times couples spend a lot of times in that conflict stage. And then, believe it or not, it gets worse when you're withdrawn, but it feels better. And I'm going to explain that to you. So let's say, for example, there are issues in your marriage, and every marriage has issues, but there are serious issues in your marriage, and you finally give up. And so you just don't address them, and you're withdrawn. You just don't care. Well, if you start caring for your marriage, you're going to go back to having conflict, and that's painful. It can possibly be, Karen, and again, I'm making these assumptions, it can possibly be that you and your husband, and again, I'm making assumptions, that you're fighting to have a great marriage, and so the conflict is constantly there. Is that, could that be accurate or no?
No, because it was a time that we were in conflict. I think it's more accurate when you say that
withdrawn.
Well, I just don't care now because it seems like the conflict.
Who doesn't care?
I'm at the point where I don't care.
But you do.
Because the conflict, I get tired. It feels like it's always my issue. It's not a we issue when I try to make it a we issue. Like I heard everything you said earlier, and I tried all those things, but it always seems to fall. He always seems to make me feel like it's my fault.
I got you,
and
but you care.
I'm not even. I don't care. I just want out.
Yeah, but you do care,
and I know I can't because.
But listen, you care, and I tell you why. That very point you said, because you're a Christian, you can't. Mm-hmm. Because if you weren't a Christian, your marriage would have been over. You would have walked away already. So really, it's not accurate when you say it was better before you were saved. The reason, because you're saved, you're fighting for your marriage. That's the only reason you have a marriage. And I tell you, sometimes people look at it and say, man, this is a curse. That's a very dangerous place to be. You know what you sound like, Karen?
That's where I'm at, though.
Can I be honest?
That is exactly where I'm at.
But let me be honest. You know what you sound like? You sound like, you know the story of the prodigal son?
Yeah.
You sound like the older son who said, I've been slaving for you all these years. You sound like it's a burden to be a Christian. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because you know God loves marriage. And you know what? You're going to have to grow in your faith to realize God doesn't want you to be miserable for 20 years. He wants you to have a thriving marriage. What can you do to help your marriage to be great? And I think it starts with you and your relationship with God. This is a test. What are you going to do?
Well, actually, I've been here before. This is, and all that you're saying, I've heard in counseling. Mm-hmm. We've been in counseling on several occasions, and I've done the test part. I've mm-hmm. been through the test part, and I don't know when do the test. you know, I'm to the point where what more can I do?
Okay.
I've done more than if I had more time. It's unbelievable, and it's like,
Karen,
I really don't know what's left to do now.
Well, we ran out of time, but I tell you this, mm-hmm. my opinion, and then Angel will close out here, my opinion is there's something you're still not getting, and God wants you to get it. There's something. And I think, let me tell you what I think it is, but it's just my opinion again. I think you're taking it like you're the victim instead of perhaps you're also a contributor to the problem in your marriage. You're not taking the responsibility. That's just my opinion. And you take it as you would. I don't even really want to hear an answer. I want you to digest this and say maybe you are part of that problem and not really a solution to it. You know, take that to heart, okay? We got to go. We literally have just a few more seconds here.
Ashley, we have like
thank
no
you, Karen.
Seconds.
No seconds. We got to say goodbye. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Karen, thank you so
thank
much.
You,
we do appreciate. Hopefully that helps.
Okay.
Have a blessed day.
You're right. Right.
Angel, thank you so much for being on today's show.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. And we'll be praying for all of our guests that called in and their marriages. Thank you so much for what you're doing to help people.
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right. And with that, we want to say thank you to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll join you next Saturday at 8. Bye-bye.